Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you have a badass bank card, do you have a pink one or the black one? I've got to say, both colors look and feel like a badge of honor. It's one of those little things that actually reflects how you've moved through life. Confident, intentional, and not afraid to do things differently. And that's really what Badass Bank is about. It was created to deliver true customer service, and honestly, you feel that. It's not just talk. They show up, they support you, and they make managing money feel a lot more human. What I love most is who they're for. Badass Bank is for the everyday badass, the people pushing through hard things, showing up for their families, rewriting their stories. Built by industry disruptors and backed by decades of banking experience, they're here to challenge the status quo and give you real control over your financial future. Badass Bank is looking for customers who expect more. So the question is, are you badass material? Consider this your invitation. Find your inner badass and visit BADASS.bank.
Member FDIC.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
The other big story is something we talked about going into the second half post All-Star break as being the guy to watch, and that's James Wood. He continued to stay hot. And granted, it's kind of funny. On Sunday, he has the three-run triple, which was nice to see. But it seems like he's somehow, even though he's the guy that everyone's watching, kind of slipped under the radar that he's gotten hot. You tweeted out that he's got hits in his seven of his last eight games. He's 12 for 28 during that stretch, and he hasn't necessarily hit the ball out of the ballpark, which we're waiting on that to, you know, come at a more consistent pace. Like, you just watch how many times he hits the ball crazy hard. It's going to come. But it just seems like, for whatever reason, that, you know, you're watching these games and, okay, Wood has another two-hit performance, so ho-hum, whatever. And yet, he's been hot of late. So it's nice to see him get going, and hopefully this is something that can continue throughout the second half.
Yeah, he's got an OPS almost 800 over the last 15 games, which is really, really good to see. He was 4 for 11 in this series against Milwaukee to kick off August. Went 1 for 4, 1 for 3, 2 for 4, but scattered in there. He also drew a couple of walks and was on base pretty consistently. So for the month, you know, 417 on base to get started here coming out of this series. But yeah, if you go back to the end of July, he had the big two-hit game to finish off the series in Arizona. He had the four-hit game in the series in St. Louis. Basically had like one big game per series and then generally gets a base hit otherwise here and there. But it has been much better here of late, hitting .333 for his last 24 in the last week with a .950 OPS in that time. As you said, only the couple of home runs so far, but that's the least of my concerns. I mean, his power is astronomical, and when he starts pulling the ball in the air, the ball's going to leave the park. What's funny is he's been very much in terms of his extra base hits, it's been the other way. The triple was down the left field line, so that's now five of his six extra base hits have been to the left side of second base. Only one home run that he pulled at a game I was at to right center field. The extra base hit that he's pulled, more of his hits now have been to the pull side when you count stuff that's been back up the box, but it's pretty much even in terms of going the other way or pulling the ball for base hits. But when you look at, you know, how hard he's hitting the ball, and he still doesn't qualify, obviously, with at-bats, but average exit velocity would be like 98th percentile. Barrel percentage would be 90th percentile. Hard hit percentage would be 98th percentile. Walk percentage would be in the 80s percentile, I think 11% walks right now. He doesn't chase, which for a young guy is just – that is my favorite thing about James Wood is – He to a fault occasionally, you know, he takes a lot of pitches and he struck out looking, which I'm sure we'll get into here, at a higher rate than normally you would in terms of percentage of your strikeouts. but it's all part of the package that's also really good, where he is selective. He's looking for his pitch. He's locking in on quadrants. He's got a really good idea of what he's doing, what he's looking for. He's been rung up on pitches just off the plate or painted on the corner because he does have a good eye. So his chase percentage of 24% is pretty elite. His bat speed, you know, of 74.3 miles per hour is, you know, 80-something percentile as well. So you put all that together, and it's a good package. You know, he still has struggled, I think, defensively more than I thought he would in left field. Just not overly comfortable, but he does have big time arm strength. You saw him make a flat footed throw to home plate to get a runner in this Milwaukee series. He's already registered some throws that are 57th percentile, well above average in terms of arm strength. So it's only a matter of time, I think, till he really starts getting more comfortable at a position he's never played before. But all is well, as far as I'm concerned, on the James Wood front. I mean, you're just, you know, this is the part where you're hoping he looks like he belongs. He gets comfortable, that, you know, it's not too big for him. And he leads the team in RBI since he got called up. And he's probably been, you know, their best at bat consistently, maybe their best offensive player since he got called up, depending on the metrics you're looking at. So I feel really good about what James Wood's doing.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, his defense, and I don't know that I've ever been overly impressed when I've seen him with his defense, but he had a couple of nice throws in this series. Even one was a throw to CJ and a nice relay from CJ. They weren't able to get the guy at the plate. It was a close one, but then he did throw someone out at the plate. Felt like he's continuing to get more and more comfortable out there, so that's nice to see. But something I want to talk about, because you mentioned also talking about him looking at strikes a lot and in turn taking strike three a lot. And some of them are bad calls that happens. And especially for someone his size, it's going to have a strike zone that size. He's going to get a lot of bad calls, unfortunately, but some of them are right down the middle. And I forget who I was having this conversation with. It was sometime in the past week. I can't remember if it was someone that covers the team or not, but we were talking about, you know, can you explain to me why someone would take a fastball down the middle for strike three? And it seems like we've seen that a couple of times with Wood, maybe not necessarily this past week. I think he's gotten, you know, out a couple of times with different pitches that were off speed or breaking balls. But can you explain some of that, Grant? Like, is that something that is new in baseball? Because it seems like for the longest time, it's been sit on the fastball, especially with two strikes. You cannot get beat by the fastball in the zone and foul off everything else if need be and foul off the fastball if need be. But it seems like Wood, if anything, slightly needs to be a little bit more aggressive. And I would much rather it be like that as opposed to a Javi Baez and tell him to stop swinging so much. I like the fact that he's not a free swinger, but it almost feels like he needs a tick more aggression at the plate because he takes too many pitches that are in good spots, especially for strike three.
So I don't disagree with anything you're saying. If you remember, actually, the first time you saw him, I think you and I went together.
Yeah.
Double A last year. Mm-hmm. And one of our takeaways from that particular game was he took a lot of pitches. If you remember, he like was not aggressive and he would take middle fastballs for strikes and then he'd be 2-2. And I want to say one of the days we saw him a couple times, one of the times we saw him, he struck out a couple times, but we were saying, if you remember this, like it was a really good at bat. Like we loved the at bat. And then he struck out either swinging or looking or whatever. And it's funny that on one night we got like a look that still holds true in some way of like how it sounds like you feel at this moment. It is not a thing that I would address with him. If I was, you know, I guess it, in the same way that if you're the hitting instructor, you're having conversations every day. So it's not like, you know, going to the principal's office and Mike Rizzo or Davey Martinez saying, hey, man, you got to swing with two strikes. But if you're Darnell Coles in like conversation two on Wednesday, maybe you go, hey, let's talk about two strike approach or whatever. But I just think it is a side effect to a strength, right? Like one of the things that is a superpower for him, if you compare him to other young hitters, is his approach, is that he comes up and it's, I don't want to put him on par with Soto because Soto's the best I've ever seen at a young age at this as a 19-year-old in the big leagues. Or, you know, but the ability to know ball from strike, to take pitches, the comfort of having, like how many, I don't know if we can look this up, certainly not during this pod, but maybe we can before the next one. Doesn't it feel like he has 7, 8, 9 pitch at bats like every other game? I mean, I don't remember a national doing that. It's a really unique trait. And I think there's something to be said with like that ability to see pitches, take pitches, be comfortable of your own skin with two strikes. And also he strikes out looking a bunch. I think they're feeding from the same trough. So like to make him more aggressive and swing more at that pitch with two strikes also means he's going to be more aggressive other times. So I would not like the juice is not worth the squeeze to me. I certainly understand your critique. And yes, there's nothing a whole lot more frustrating as a baseball fan than seeing a guy take a third strike in the middle of the plate. I don't have a good answer for you yet. I'm going to have to watch more. Like if this is still the case, you know, by next year, you know, or even a month from now and there's like no adjustment, maybe there's another conversation to be had. But I think he's still kind of learning and figuring out how he's being pitched to. You know, one of the things I was told early on, and this is maybe the best answer I can offer on this, was I asked someone, you know, why he was taking, and it wasn't third strikes, but taking so many middle pitches early in counts. And they said, you know, he is expecting to be thrown like what they call breaking ball to death. You know, like he's expecting slider, curveball, whatever, changeup. And he's getting a lot of early count fastballs. And he's coming up to the big leagues after the minors where he was the bee's knees in the middle of the lineup, the best hitter in AAA. And he would just see a fastball here and there. Like he was not getting cookies, middle pitches ever. And so you come up and you're used to that and you're thinking, all right, I'm James Wood. No one's going to throw me a fastball that I can drive. And you're sitting on these breaking balls and now you get 95 at the belt. And the point is like, no, like you're in the big leagues now. And theoretically, you're hitting sixth this night or fifth or whatever. Like nobody's saying I'm not going to throw this guy a fastball. You're a guy they don't know. So I don't know if that's part of it where with two strikes, he's expecting, you know, they're looking at me. I got the big arms and the high strikeout rate last year in the minors. Maybe they think I'm going to swing over a breaking ball and he's sitting on that. And then he's getting the fastball. I'm not really sure. I don't have a good answer. But based on what, you know, the conversations I've had, that's kind of the best I can offer.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, and I think, too, and we can get into some of the pitching performances after this, but I think, too, he's not the only national that's had this. You've seen C.J. Abrams take a fastball down the middle. You've seen some other guys. I think this is just a change in baseball because it used to be that there were fastball counts, and now there are no such thing as fastball counts. You could get any pitch in any count because pitchers are so good. You're seeing fewer fastballs than ever in Major League Baseball in the modern game. So, you know, it's just a totally change in philosophy. The stuff that you grew up with, the, you know, philosophy that 2-0 you were getting a fastball, like that doesn't happen all the time. 3-1, you're not necessarily always getting a fastball. Like it's just, it's totally different. And I think in turn, it looks odd when you're watching a guy that's, you know, batting in the middle of the order and it's a two strike count and he takes 95 that usually would be swung at right down the middle that you're hoping to send over the wall. And he's just looking at it. I think it's just a different game that you're watching nowadays. And, you know, there are some things that need to be adjusted. I would like to see him slightly more aggressive, but to your point, this is still a kid in the bigs. So, you know, I don't want to say, all right, let's be a little more aggressive and then turn him into someone that's striking out even more because he's expanding his zone. So, you know, I think there's a give and take there. You'll take some of those strikeouts because of the at bats that he's able to work and the results that he can get because of it and the walks that he's able to work as well. I want to talk about the pitching performances you got on Saturday and Sunday. You mentioned DJ Hers earlier. He was solid. He was able to go five innings. You know, they're really watching his pitches because he only was at 77. They didn't send him out there for the six, but he was good. Only gave up the one run. It was unearned, struck out six. Impressive performance from him and a nice outing from Mitchell Parker on Sunday as well, going six scoreless innings, striking out three, walking three guys, which he hasn't really walked that many guys this season, but it's been impressive watching those two guys. And it's good to see, you know, that's back-to-back solid outings for DJ Hers. And it's good to see Mitchell Parker be able to bounce back. He struggled lately.
Yeah. And for Parker, I would say two straight pretty good ones as well. didn't have the same depth into the start. Last time out, kind of ran out of gas in that sixth inning, I believe. But he went a fifth inning, I guess it was. He went five innings, four hits, two runs against Arizona, and then six shutout today. His ERA for the year, 4.06. And then you get him into the threes next start, and he's really got a chance to set himself up for a rotation spot next year. Hers has been, I think, you know, pretty fun development. I mean, when they called him up, look, he was ready for a shot. That's why they gave him a chance. The stuff is really good. But I do think they were a little bit skeptical. They were kind of banking on it being a wild ride. In fact, if you remember in his first game, he had a couple balls that went high into the screen. There's a little bit of that wildness in his game.
He still has those time to time.
Yeah, he does. But like, I think they thought internally, you know, there'd be more walks than there have been. I mean, he's got just 13 walks in 46 and a third innings. You know, that's pretty good. That's been a big issue for him in his minor league career. And one of the reasons people have thought this guy's got to be a reliever when it's all said and done. And now, you know, again, he's not necessarily qualifying just yet and everything, but his walk percentage is 72nd percentile in baseball. Like, I would have told you there's no chance. But his metrics are actually really good. Expected ERA is 80th percentile, 3.19. Expected batting average, 86th percentile, 211. Like, his advanced numbers are awesome. Chase percentage, he gets a lot of swings out of the zone, 72nd percentile. Whiff percentage, 88th. Strikeout percentage, 89th. Walk percentage, 72nd. He runs into some barrels. That's probably the thing that's been worst, 12th percentile. Doesn't get a whole lot of ground balls, 18th percentile. Hard hits a little worse than average. Average exit velocity, 15th percentile. But he's a big guy, right? 6'2", and he looks, pitch is bigger than that extension, 74th percentile. And the fastball plays, man. He's got a really, really good changeup. And the fastball's getting 74th percentile results as well. You know, the slider hasn't been nearly as good. But I think the fastball changeup mix is legit. And I just think through 46 innings and 10 starts, I mean, you weren't expecting, I don't think, that he'd go deep into games. You know, you're looking for kind of five at a time, replacing Trevor Williams back of the rotation. But this is about as good as they could have hoped for. I mean, there were all kinds of questions, though, you know, to the point of, like, is he ready? Does, you know, is he comfortable throwing over to first? Is he going to have struggles doing that? John Lester style, is he bouncing the ball over there? Something that wasn't great in spring training. Is he going to be a wild card, throwing the ball to the screen or walking the yard? And you haven't really had any of that. So I think he's pitching his way into a legitimate chance to be in the rotation mix next year with a strong finish. And he's one of my favorite guys to watch. I mean, I just, even when he was in the minors watching him on TV, I just really liked the stuff. I'm a big fan of guys, you know, from the left side or mid-90s with a good changeup. And if that slider comes on, if he ends up having, you know, three really good pitches, it's going to be hard with him throwing the types of strikes that he is right now to not have him in the rotation.
Yeah, Hurst is one of my favorite pitchers to watch at this point because it seems like you can get the complete outcome, range of outcomes, right? You could have a dominant performance like we've seen a couple of times this year where he's striking out double digits, going deep in a ball game, or you could have an absolute stinker where he just can't seem to find the strike zone or he's giving up hard contact all over the place. And recently he's been solid. So I hope he continues to grow in that way. I think the big thing for him going into next season, and I noticed this early on with him, but it's played out now as we're deep into the season, he's got reverse splits. And I think the reason is he's got that really good change up against righties and he's able to get them out. But lefties, I think he needs a second pitch because he doesn't throw that changeup. And so to your point, that slider is going to have to come on. You know, you look at left-handed batters, they have an average of 279, righties 234. So he does really well against righties and not so hot against lefties because he just doesn't have that put-away pitch against left-handed batters. So I think for him, that's the thing for next season. If he can develop, you know, whether it's more of a sweeper or something that can get lefties out, then I think he can take that next step. But he's been really impressive. And I think the other thing about this, Grant, you have to give credit to the Nationals. Like those two guys we just mentioned, Hurs and Parker, when they were coming up, what was the issue? Walks. You know, the stuff was always good. They had stuff to work at the major league level. The question was walks. And for whatever reason, it seems like at the major league level, Irvin's gone to a really low rate of walking people. Parker went from struggling with walks to being really good this season with walks. And DJ Hurst went from someone that was walking someone every inning in the minor leagues, basically, to being a guy that is a respectable major league starter because he's not walking a dude all the time. I don't know what it is that they're doing, but you got to give credit to Hickey and Doolittle and the staff for being able to work out those walks out of their pitching staff.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's one of the reasons when we were breaking down the Lane Thomas return, 19-year-old lefty Alex Clemmie from the Guardian system is a Hurst-like arm in that, you know, he's got excellent stuff. It's a fastball with big, lively arm, can touch 99, but he walks too many guys. And you hope getting him in this system, working with their guys, they can whittle that down. You know, I was talking to a buddy who said, basically, I don't trust any team to fix an arm that the Guardians can't because they might be the best at it. But it's not like he needed to be fixed in the sense of like the results were pretty darn good. It was just he was walking guys and he was young. And maybe that would have come on over time anyway. But I want to see what they could do with him. He made his debut, got two outs in the first inning. I think he had three walks and a couple of hits, and they pulled him out of the start for Fredericksburg this week.